Okay, we're going to do things slightly differently today. Instead of beginning with this responsorial reading or the responsive reading, I'm going to set it up. And then as we read it, I want you to meditate as we read it on what it is you're saying. This psalm here, as we look at it, if you look at most modern interpretations of it, is just about David and a time in David's life when he needed help, when he had trouble. When he was complaining, groaning to God of the trouble that he had and looking forward to deliverance, in this psalm, not even all that, he has an expectation of answer, but not a confidence, not an assurance necessarily of it. This is a psalm that has a great heartbreak in it. But I want to ask you, as Bible-believing Christians, why God would put into his great temple a song of one guy and his internal struggles. Why would that be a proper worship psalm for the people of all ages to sing? And the simple answer is that it's not. In the last couple weeks, as we've talked about the psalms, you've heard me talk about how there's a progression. There are many series of psalms in this book. And we went from the Lord helping his troubled people and the safety of the faithful, and last week a prayer for guidance, and a prayer not just for guidance, but for help on doing the right thing the right way at the right time. And I mentioned that we were going to get into more what I grew up calling the passion of Christ, his troubles, his trials, trial before the Jewish people and the Romans, his crucifixion, but above all, his abandonment by God. One of the most moving things in my life, one of the things that actually started me leaving the Roman church, was going through his suffering in the Bible. And normally this time of the year, they'll be doing it again, and hopefully more of the people there will come to see Christ for real. But as we do this psalm, as we read this, I want you to think of it as the prayer of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane during his trial. And finally, as he's abandoned on the cross to take our sins upon himself, that we might be saved. As we read this, I want you to think of this as David speaking, as he's abandoned, suffering, and dying for you, his people. Okay, Psalm 6, and we'll read this responsively as we usually do. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long?
Return, O Lord, deliver me. Save me for your mercy's sake.
For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks?
I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my head sing. I present my mouth to my ears.
My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies.
Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. The Lord has heard the voice of my weeping.
The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer.
Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed of me.
Amen. Now, as I said, as we look through here, remember, this was the perfect God-man, the Christ, the one without sin, who was being troubled, being tormented, looking forward to the torture of the cross, but above all, the separation from the Father on our behalf, so that his people might be saved. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, for I am weak. Heal me, for my bones are troubled. As I said, and I misspoke slightly, I couldn't find the right words, there was an expectation that the prayer would be heard, but that didn't completely take away or even very much take away the terror and the dread of what was yet to come. The pain was still real. The separation was still real. Here we see Jesus again looking ahead to being tortured, to being the one who bore the sins of hell for us. And he says, do not rebuke me in your anger. Now, in justice, he was going to be troubled, that he was going to be rebuked, but not in anger. He looked forward to God having mercy on him, for the Father to show him mercy, to heal him in his troubles. You see, at the end of verse 3, I said over and over, the question you see so often in Scripture, but O Lord, you, Yahweh, the covenant God, how long? Think of him hanging there saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And with this psalm going through his head, but you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me. Save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? The linchpin of our salvation really isn't the crucifixion. Paul talks about the resurrection as being the proof. Without the resurrection, we are to be, what did he say? I can't remember. I hate it when I draw a blank up here. Without the resurrection, the rest of it really doesn't mean anything. Without the resurrection, there is no happiness. There is no assurance of salvation. Here Jesus again is saying, calling to the Father to return and deliver him, not to leave him in the grave, because the point was for God to have his people saved, for there to be a resurrection of the just. Verses 6 and 7, we see the weary groaning, the all-night crying, the praying. You can see this both on the cross and in the garden. And finally, in the last three verses, the triumphant call for the wicked to depart, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. He will receive my prayer. Now, these are things that hasn't happened yet, but are coming. There will be a resurrection. There will be a reuniting. There will be life. There will be joy. There will be love with the Father. But as of yet, he still has to go through his troubles. Finally, let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly. We know then that as he was raised from the dead, that the wicked, his enemies, were ashamed and greatly troubled. We know that in several years to come, those who rejected him, the nation of Israel, was destroyed. This psalm and the psalm, couple more to come, follow in the same, pattern. As we sing this, this isn't about David being chased by his son or any of his enemies. This is about our Lord being persecuted for us, bearing the pains for us. So let's sing this, and let's sing this intelligently, and let's sing Psalm 6.